I want to point out that 2 weeks in a row we have used Metroid to compare games, and the other one was Tim the Toolman Taylor, and the next one was Echo the Dolphin. So we need to stop.
Welcome back to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Your boy Nolan.
And this is episode 156. Guys.
Oh, my favorite number.
If you could combine any two video games, which would you combine and what would that look like?
Good question.
Yeah.
Is this the first time it came to you?
Yeah, this is the very first time. We didn't talk about it last night.
Any two video games.
So
Kenny's
going
to take
know.
30 minutes to answer.
You could put Rocket League and Stardew Valley together.
What? You grow cars?
What?
Drive a carrot, eh?
Hey. What are
I
your
feel
thoughts?
Like there's some way to monetize this setup, but I can't think of what it is.
Like, we'll create a video game?
Yeah, I'm sure there's games that like two. People consistently make money off of, and then there's games that
okay,
are so
Fortnite.
Easy you can do them quickly and repetitively, and so mash them up.
Okay,
I feel
Fortnite,
like Fortnite was a combination of PUBG and Minecraft.
No, really.
completely.
Okay, so my answer, real talk, Zelda, and...
You just want Zelda? It doesn't matter what else?
Zelda and...
The Sims? Skyrim?
Fire Emblem.
Ooh.
So Fire Emblem mechanics with Zelda characters and lore.
Huh.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh my gosh.
Did I just come up with a good idea?
Are you a video game
I'll contact
developer?
Nintendo. Don't worry.
Because I was thinking like Skyrim and Magical Mystery Mall.
Well, I mean, they're one and the same.
Like, it's just Twins in Tamriel, which is the subtitle, by the way. Twins in Tamriel.
No,
and they're
Magical
just
Mystery Mall, Twins in Tamriel.
They're just working to become twin Dragonborns.
I mean,
yeah, there's something there.
Kenny, what's your answer?
Kenny, get creative, baby.
I don't feel like I have a really good answer here.
It doesn't have to be good. This is not
a
competition.
Has to be good. Okay. Everything is a competition. So I would combine the old Windows 95 pinball.
Okay, I know which one you're talking about.
That's a great game.
The space-themed one?
Yeah, the space-themed one. I would combine that with... Oh, I've got to think of something that would give me good synergy, because I really want to play that game right now.
I did say... Oh, go ahead.
With SimCity.
So I said it's not a competition, but that was the worst answer ever.
And you just lost.
It really was. The second
you
answer,
lost
I just,
something
the
that
second
wasn't
answer
even
I just pulled out of my butt because, like, I had no idea what would
just
make
just choose
a game.
Two of your favorite games. That's exactly what I did, and it ended up being a great idea, and I won 1,000 NGP points.
No, that's a terrible idea. Okay, then let's say original StarCraft Brood War combined with Civilization V.
Okay.
Totally works.
Yeah, that works. Dustin?
Oh, Fallout and BioShock.
Fallout Boy?
Fallout. Uh-huh. Let's say the Wild West one. What's that called?
New Vegas?
New Vegas. Fallout New Vegas and BioShock. Both games I love. I don't know how different it would be.
Both FPS.
Yeah, but Fallout's probably more of an RPG. You know, anyways, that's just my
interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
I like the question.
Interesting. Did y'all hear that?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's the worst thing. Nolan, we got to stop him somehow.
Did you just do the Tim Lane Taylor grunt?
No.
Oh, guys, I don't know if y'all are hearing that. Maybe it's just my headset, but it sounds like a dolphin. an echo, just like in our retro game of the week. Go ahead and shut off this episode. It's going to be a terrible one. Echo the Dolphin.
Echo the Dolphin. Dolphin.
Overview.
Dolphin Simulator is an action-adventure game that came out in 1992 for the Sega Genesis / Mega Drive. And honestly, I need to confess something. I should have known this by now, but I just learned that the Mega Drive is simply the Genesis outside of the States, much like the Famicom and the SNES. So
we were the only one to call it Sega Genesis, I believe.
Yeah, and it's a better name than Mega Drive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Now that that's out of the way, it came out in 1992 in the States, and it was developed by a company called Novotrade International, published by Sega. But Novotrade, I was researching a little bit, and it seems like that company just made like ports of games. This is not a port. This is an exclusive for the Genesis. Yeah. So
is
that
this
was
the
weird.
Only one that they did straight up?
Oh, probably not. There are probably some, but like a lot of their catalog is just like ported games. So it's kind of a weird company. It's owned by this even bigger company. Either way, Sega's like, we're publishing it, and they put their logo on the cover. So it's a Sega game.
And I remember it being a risk, obviously. I mean, like anyone that's going to take this game, it's going to be a risk. But this is not a customary game. Like, it's not a standard platformer, which a lot, a lot of your Genesis and Nintendo or Super Nintendo titles were. It's not, I don't know. There's very little else to compare it to.
Especially at the time.
And we'll talk about it some more, but like, it's got some characteristics of a Metroid, Super Metroid. It's got some characteristics of, I don't know. That's the one.
Yeah, the ocean.
Oh, we're combining the ocean with Super Metroid.
No, we're not combining two games. I'm just saying that there are some other things. But outside of the some similarities, it's very different from most of your other games at this time.
I want to point out that 2 weeks in a row, we have used Metroid to compare games. And the other one was Tim the Toolman Taylor. And the next one was Echo the Dolphin. So we need to stop.
Well, let's,
you play as a...
It might be fair to draw some lines between Echo and our game last week, because both have dinosaurs.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, what's happening? Okay, you play as a bottlenose dolphin named Echo, and you... Okay, so the story starts pretty quick. I'll just get into that. So you start off swimming in the ocean. Great.
Everything's happy.
Everything's happy. You're with your pod. I also learned that what a pod was this week.
It's really?
Yeah, it's like it's the dolphin's home and nest and crew. Yeah. And so you're hanging out, you're getting used to the controls. You can talk to your fellow dolphins, and they gave you
via sonar.
Via sonar, yeah. You shoot a sonar at them. Kenny called it a laser in his first play. And you talk to them.
It looks like a laser weapon.
And one of them's like, hey, Echo, see how high you can fly in the sky.
Don't do that, because the rest of the story will be terrible. You just need to swim with your pod.
Yes,
enjoy
flying as a sim and just hang out in the pod. Because
don't jump out of the water.
Because when you jump out of the water, you get some sick height, yes. But then this portal opens in the sky and starts sucking up your pod. Not like water, but your
all
animal
of the
friends,
ocean creatures, basically.
Ocean crap. Like, it just takes it away from you. And then it's like, well, what now? And so that's how this adventure begins. We quickly get into time travel and aliens. And yes, all of this is real. And it's called Echo the Dolphin. And it's about dolphins.
I love that it starts so like, okay, this is a dolphin simulator. Like, it really is like just, nothing to worry about. You're just a dolphin with your pod. And then, like half hour later, you're in Atlantis. And then another half hour, you're finding a time machine. And then a little bit later, you're traveling 65 million years into the past. Like, and then you finally are fighting aliens.
Yes. I also like how you think you get there in just a half hour.
Right.
Because unless you're significantly better at this game than everybody, it took you longer than that to make each of those jumps.
Gameplay.
So I loved watching Kenny's first play this week, because it's a unique game to come into. There's no setup, which I like sincerely appreciate. There's not mm-hmm. a cutscene. There's no dialogue at the beginning to let you know what's going on. You're just immediately a dolphin, and you're in like blissful tranquility, and it's so nice. And you're just swimming around. And Kenny, as you watch him in his first play, is starting to learn the mechanics, enjoying it. Talks to one of his dolphin buddies, and he says, "Jump in the air." And so Kenny does, and he instantly goes from like a smile on his face to like,
"Dude,
what just happened?"
Yeah, his face. Heavy. It got me in the so feels like for real.
Yeah, and there's a shift in tone and in music, and like you feel that, because at first you're like, oh, this is really nice, and whatever you just felt gets taken away from you, and it sucks.
Yeah, this game sets mood so well. Like you jump in and you're swimming, and it does. It feels dolphinish, even the movement, which doesn't make like
dolphinish.
I don't know. It does. I would know. I have vivid dolphin
You hang out with
sometimes.
Them regularly after all. So let's talk about what you just said, Dustin. The game just starts. So normally you get like something, like a dialogue box or like instructions or a cutscene or something. I really liked that there wasn't, especially when you learn like, okay, what all is involved with the aliens and stuff. It just, you just start, you press start and you're in the game. And I think it's really effective because it lets the player get used to the handle, the control of Echo. Like you're just like, oh, well, okay. And then you start testing things out. And I like testing things instead of.
It almost serves like a tutorial, just being this tiny mini, like open world level.
Yeah. It gives you enough room to like move around and like feel like, okay, let me get out of here. And then you eventually find out what you need to do, like to do the jump. But I liked there not being some sort of tutorial, and usually that's a knock, but here it works.
No, I agree.
I think the mechanics are even set up in such a way that that's the best thing for this. It's not Super Nintendo. It's Sega Genesis, and so you've got limited controls anyways. But really, all you use the D-pad to swim around. You mm-hmm. can you have a button that allows you to go a little bit faster. You can then dash, and that's kind of like a quick charge dash. And then you've got your sonar. Outside of that, I don't think there's really any other mechanic. And even at the beginning, in that introductory stage, you don't even have health or air to worry about. So
right,
it's kind
right.
of just a really it's a free
it a
roaming
tutorial.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But it's at your own pace and however long you want. Like you can honestly, right? If you don't jump in the air, you could stay there for hours. Is yeah. is that
can he stay
right?
there a lot longer than true. I thought he would? I played before I watched his first play, and then I was like, come on, Kenny, talk to the dolphins.
It takes me longer to do everything, though. It took me longer even to get into that world. I accidentally swam the first way where you get into that
cove
that like
thing.
Lets you put in passwords.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this game and its serious need for a password system, which they included, which is good. But yeah, it starts so lighthearted. But then you immediately jump in to this crazy problem where all of your dolphin buddies and other fish and everything have been like sucked out of the ocean and you don't know why. And it gets real serious. And so you swim into the next level and it starts getting darker immediately, not just in like story, but even visually. One of the really cool things they do is as you swim around like depth in the ocean, it gets brighter or darker based on how deep you are. And so immediately you get this really heavy mood and you figure out, okay, I'm not just a freewheeling dolphin. I'm a dolphin that's got to accomplish some stuff and I got to figure out how to get through these levels. Yeah, it works.
Free Willy.
Wheeling. You do meet Free Willy, though, pretty early on in this game.
I mean, if you name it.
Okay, so it's not a short game. It's a long game.
No, it's, yeah. It's
got 25 levels, I believe, in this.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Now,
and these levels aren't short, the majority of them. If you know exactly what to do, then you can go through them pretty quickly. But a big part of the state of this game, and that's why I even compared it to Metroid, is that a lot of this game is just exploratory.
Right.
Like
yes.
that's the fun part of it, is that you're kind of going around, you're checking out what the world has to offer on top. But your task in most of these stages is relatively simple. It's hard to do, but in concept, it's relatively simple.
Yes, you are
locating a key glyph, and then you're finding the corresponding door glyph to unlock and then to progress.
And they look the same, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. They look the same, but they interact differently.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, from stage to stage, this becomes increasingly difficult with having to move certain stones or shells or blocks around to be able to get through certain barriers. You've got enemies like jellyfish and terrible crabs and sharks later. And so there's different enemies that you're going to have
to... octopus?
Yeah, but you can't hurt that octopus, so you just have to swim very slowly past the octopus.
I love
and
that.
Then he doesn't notice
that section was tight.
And so you do that over and over again through these various stages with increasing difficulty. There are some slight different requirements on certain stages, like rescuing dolphins.
There's a rescue mission, yeah.
Yeah, and different things like that.
Which I didn't get
But
past.
Primarily, you're just getting key glyphs, opening doors, and progressing.
And to help people picture it if they haven't seen it, the reason you say like Metroid is because it's like open world non-linear exploration. So you're basically going through underwater caves for the most part. Later you get into some actual levels and like even a ship and whatever. We'll talk about that. And so you're going up and down and left and right through these like hallways and obstacles and having to keep track of where you are and figure out where you're supposed to go. And it can get a little confusing. And when you've never done these levels before, it's a lot of blind exploration. That said, they do provide you with a really small localized map as like
I love
a tool
how you
of your
access
echo
it.
Location. Yeah, it's a really nice feature.
So
realistic.
You hold your echo button, your sonar button, and Kenny's laser, and
your echo location.
The sonar comes back to you in whatever direction that you sent that out in. It gives you a, like Kenny said, a small view of what is that direction. And so I ended up using it a lot more later on because it shows you where air pockets are, where glyphs are, where some of your dolphin friends are. And so it does become helpful if you learn to use it well.
Yeah.
Dustin, you mentioned air pockets, and that's not a feature we've talked about yet and need to highlight. While you're exploring all these underwater, deep in the ocean caves, you're still a dolphin. And so it stays true to your nature as a mammal, and you've got to go up for air or else you die. And so that's sort of one other constant thing you're having to manage, where you either have to go to the surface, find like an underground air pocket, or find some like bubbles or something to sort of refresh your air as you're going. And so you're exploring and you're trying not to take too long doing it. And it makes for a pretty tough challenge. It really does.
Yeah. So in addition to that, you also have your health bar, and you can take damage from the enemies underwater, like jellyfish, things like that. And so you're having to worry about those two different things, and it's kind of hard at times to dodge the enemies underwater.
Yeah, hitboxes are kind of rough. And then you're a dolphin and you're underwater. And if you don't have practice being a dolphin or staying underwater, avoiding enemies, then some of that's tough for sure. I think it's relatively generous on health. And then the cool thing is there's fish that are scattered throughout a lot of the stages. And if you dash past them, then Echo eats them and it replenishes some health as well. So that's nice.
A good mechanic to include for sure.
So I guess we've laid out the core mechanics, how you play it and what you're doing. I knew about this game, and the first time I played it, I mean, this was the first time I played it, I wasn't expecting to go so fast. So you can, and I love that. I love Sonic and I love fast games. So that was unexpected. But when I jumped out of the water like dolphins do, and when you go back into the water, you got some speed. And not only that, you have that dash button that you're talking about, and you go so fast with the dash button and you can spam it. I loved the pace of this game.
Really? So you like going fast.
Yes.
I honestly, as long as I had air, I would go as slow as possible and enjoy the scenery. Also, because if you go fast, you don't know where you're going to end up. And there's so many dangers later on that you're going to be running into so many things if you're just kind of dashing through. However, your dash is also your primary attack. And so it's also nice. It's kind of like, it isn't when Sonic's like doing his spin roll really fast that that takes out enemies that he hits.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same way that when you're going, if you're going fast enough and you've just kind of hit your dash button, that even if you do run into enemies, you damage them and are able to either kill them or get through them during that, those iframes.
Sega boys are fast. They like to get fast games.
They do like it. I will say that there are some frustrating things for sure, and we've mentioned them, and you kind of just mentioned one with the hitboxes there. Yeah. Some of the enemies can get like right up on you, and then it's hard to like turn around and
get
stun
locked.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the most frustrating things for me, so I did a live stream this week. I played some of the live stream. I'll probably put it up on YouTube later so that people can watch it. And I am getting angry primarily because you've got the enemies that respawn way too easily. And as soon as you like move the screen away from where that enemy was, if you go back, they're there again. And that's, that's exceedingly frustrating.
Yeah. Enemy behavior in general has a few things they did with it that made me crazy. A respawning as soon as like you come back into the screen, but even a lot of the enemies, though you're stuck in these like walled in spaces, they don't end up having to respect that. They can like move through walls, and that can be super frustrating when just out of nowhere this enemy that you couldn't see just like pops out and wrecks your life, and you have no reason to know that it would be there.
Well, and that's also especially a problem because what you were saying, Dustin, because there's so much backtracking in this game. Like, you're not just going right the whole time. I don't know if we've like laid that out, but much like Metroid, you're going backwards and you're going all over. So defeating enemies and then having them come right back is actually a huge problem.
Another thing that can be frustrating, and I'm sure we all face this, is trying to line up Echo for a jump. I'm sure Kenny had the worst experience with that, but there's many times where you have to breach with Echo and curve your jump so that you're going either right or left over a little landmass. And it's not the easiest because you can't go straight up from the ocean floor, because you'll just go straight up and then back down. You have to have enough speed. And so you're going to be jumping out and hitting the ground a lot, hitting the surface a lot before you can kind of luckily get that right. Now, I think that's something that you can work on and build on. But one of the most cringy and frustrating things when I was watching Kenny's first play is that Echo makes this poor sound whenever his nose hits a surface that's hard, and it wasn't bothering you, Kenny, but it hurt me every single time you ran into
something. You feel
that.
Then you had a really hard time with my first play because I was
you were like, let me see if I can ram these rocks.
Over and over.
It's like, why?
And it hurts. One of the cool things is, though, that as you progress in the game, there are a few upgrades. It's one of the things that I respect, that it's not like focused on this big time, but you do get a couple of upgrades throughout the game that can help your progression be easier. So I think you can get two upgrades to your sonar.
Really?
Those were really nice.
I don't know nothing about that. I didn't get there.
In the rescue mission stages, I don't think you actually have to rescue those dolphins. You can just do the key glyph thing and get out. But
are
you
kidding me?
But if you rescue the dolphins, you get an upgrade to your sonar, and it doesn't explain it well. So that's one of the significant frustrations, is that you can get a death sonar. So if you hit dash and then sonar right after, it does a different noise and a different image or graphic for your sonar, and it instantly kills a lot of the smaller enemies, and it damages some of the bigger
enemies.
Also,
I'm not going to not rescue those guys because you talk to the dolphin up top and he's like, please help Echo, my pod is trapped under
like
the rocks.
It's not
what?
Optional.
Yeah,
look,
I know.
That stage is dumb and I still can't find the last one.
Oh, no.
I didn't get your sonar, dude.
Your map.
I know. I didn't use, I need to.
And then later you can get a confused sonar. I'm not sure what that does, but I think it's something about like it sends the sharks away from you. I don't know. And then late game, you do get an upgrade for infinite air, but it's like at the very end of the game.
which makes sense because it takes you out of the ocean and puts you into a space where making you get air wouldn't make any sense.
Wait, how are you getting around?
By space,
then?
You mean like a spaceship,
right?
Well, how do you get around in the spaceship? Gravity? Swimming
through
no gravity?
You're swimming through air or water or something. It doesn't specify, but by that time you suspended all disbelief, so it doesn't matter.
No, I'm still simulating. I haven't made it to the weird parts yet.
Now, can we talk about that real quick? Because I think, and maybe I'm just jaded, I think that the gradual revelations in this game helps a little bit. So it's obviously ludicrous, that story and all of that.
Yeah.
But I think the way that they slowly reveal that, and if you didn't get the full story and you didn't go through it, then maybe it sounds it's completely absurd to you because you just watched clips and you saw very quickly that it becomes alien. But I think the way that it slowly progresses to that point, it doesn't necessarily make sense, but it is okay. Like, it's not bothersome to me.
Yeah, if they decide to make it that trippy and go that way story-wise, I think I agree that they did it well. They ramped it up and they explained, at least in theory, what was going on and why. And it made way more sense than, oh, you're quote-unquote on the set of a movie like last week, you're just in the location. Like, this one, it worked. It was a huge pill to swallow, but it worked.
Aged.
So you said this game was a risk earlier in the podcast. So did that risk pan out, or what happened? How did this game sell?
I don't know how it sold. I know that, like, in some of the charts of, like, you know, Sega titles, of the best Sega titles or whatever, that it was always, like, in the top at least 50. I think probably in the 20, 25 area. So I don't know if that's just about popularity or if that's about... I don't know how it sold, but I do know I knew about it. I didn't even have a Sega Genesis, and I played it as a kid. I have no idea how or where, but there's a fondness for it. Dolphins, just I think, like how pirates and dinosaurs do for certain kids, dolphins did for me, and I think it did for other kids too.
Oh,
that it was
no,
just
I was fully there. I wasn't joking earlier this episode where I said that I'm a dolphin.
Perverts.
No, you said you were a dolphin. You have to be joking about that, Kenny.
No, I didn't say I was a dolphin. Maybe I am. What if I was?
Reminds me of a better time.
I think that this game does something that many other games of this era, not only, it's not like they fail to do, but that it's very difficult to do. I think, man, I hate to keep comparing it to this kind of, but like Metroid, when I played it, I was blown away that week because of this, because it created an atmosphere in an era where atmosphere was not that big of a deal.
You're true.
Where it was mostly about gameplay, not about creating this unique atmosphere. And Echo the Dolphin, I think, is one of the games that is just king of atmosphere.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Like when I first heard of this game could have been the worst thing ever if they would have made it to where it wasn't like an underwater world, but it was more of like a arcade style where you're going right and you're at the top of the water, the surface, and you're jumping out, getting coins, getting points, like hitting things, jumping over obstacles.
True.
That could have been what this game is. But instead, they went for exploration underwater, which was, first of all, huge at the time. And I think it's actually still really, like, engrossing when you first play it. It's really interesting to just kind of explore underwater, because what other games do that, like, to this level? I mean, no one has risked themselves making a game where you're playing as a dolphin. So it's like...
And I think it's worth pointing out, too, that it's not just... atmosphere, though they do atmosphere well, and they do like happy-go-lucky dolphin life atmosphere well at the very beginning, but they also get kind of dark in tone and almost sort of spooky really quickly.
No, I agree.
You know, like you're swimming deep and the
water gets
music
darker.
Gets real kind of like mysterious and melancholy, and the enemies start to get a lot more unpredictable and popping out of places, and you're having to solve these puzzles while you're running out of air, and there's something that, like, even though the mechanics and what you're trying to do seems really straightforward. There's something that just hooks you and kind of pulls you in here. And it's because they were willing to do something like unique vision wise, but then they supported it well. The atmosphere that they made with the music was absolutely astounding.
I think that was one of the things that helped create this like loneliness, epic atmosphere that 100%. They created was the soundtrack. And you've got different songs for different stages and different areas.
I wouldn't even call them songs though.
What would you like?
I agree with you though. Like, they could have been like, have a beat to them, like, you know what I mean? But they're not at all. They're more like Metroid, where it's
very atmospheric.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not like it's got a verse, chorus, verse, or anything like that. It gives you something encapsulating, gives you something beautiful or scary or lonely. It creates these feelings, these emotions, and they're not all the same. I don't know if y'all got to the open ocean stage, but it's a different stage. They shift up the gameplay a little bit in a few of these to kind of just give you a refresher, but this one, you just swim as fast as you can all the way to the right. It's the only stage where you do that. There's no caves or anything like that, and there's tons of sharks. The music is kind of this like escape, epic, while at the same time being completely beautiful. They just do so well with these tracks. There is a Sega CD version of this game that came out a year later, and it has a few different stages, a few updated graphics, but then it's got CD quality songs. I linked it in our Discord this week because... And you might like the CD quality, and you might like kind of that, 16-bit kind of music as well. I don't think you have to like one and hate the other. I love the CD quality version of it as well. And I don't know, just all of these songs add so much to the experience that more so than in most video games of this time.
So something that stood out to me that I normally don't consider when I'm talking about age or how I feel about a game, I said it in Discord, I think, but the box art for this game is really dope. Like, it's got the Genesis black and white grid in the background. So it's got like that computer kind of futuristic look, but then like the picture is just straight up a picture of a dolphin jumping out of water, like a realistic picture. And the font, I don't know, like there's something about it that feels so like retro, but also kind of modern in that it still looks cool. And I mean, that kind of translates to the graphics too. I think it's very Sega looking and very bright.
Yeah. And with the graphics, they went, as ludicrous as the story becomes, they're going realistic with the graphics, you know, like
absolutely.
One of the things that I appreciate most is that with Echo, they didn't have to do something crazy. This isn't an era where everyone's creating these unique characters that are hopefully going to like carry their game on for an eternity. So they're
like
creating
Sonic.
And all these unique looking humanoid-esque characters. So we could go on and on and list some of these. A lot of them are not successful, and we played some of those, you know, like Yonoid. But with Echo,
Vector,
there's no red mohawk on his head. There's no sick scar on his dorsal fin. Like,
or
it is
human
just
arms.
It's just a straight up dolphin.
They do put a couple of stars on his head.
In the artwork, but you don't even see that in the graphic in game.
No, totally. So like, he's a dolphin.
He's straight up a dolphin, and there's nothing unique or special about him in the appearance. And so, like, I don't know, just I really appreciate that they didn't feel the need to create something outlandish. I'm saying that when in a game that you end up fighting like trilobites. What are those terrible dinosaur-esque things called? I don't know. And you get picked up by like a pterodactyl later. So like it gets crazy and absurd. But the way that at least they start it, I mean, and progress it, just is beautiful and creative in its own right.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think the difficulty is something we should talk about here. We mentioned it in gameplay. I think this is a hard game. Absolutely. But I would say that this difficulty level for me is reminiscent of like Blaster Master. Do you remember, Nolan, that when I played that game, how angry I got? I did a live stream for that game too.
Yeah.
And I got so angry, but ended up giving it my vote for New Game Plus back then because it was such a beautiful game. Like, I couldn't deny how great that game was. It just frustrated me to no ends. And this is another game where I got so frustrated, but it just is a beautiful experience.
And I think it's too long. Like, you're saying it's 25 stages.
Yeah.
And I'm on 3, and the stage is huge, and I'm getting lost already. That's too long. I don't know how I feel about that, because like that drained the motivation out of me to get through the game, because like that's...
Well, and you've got to remember that during this time, though, they don't want you to be able to beat a game in a rental time period.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, for sure.
And so they make it long enough and difficult enough that you can play it when you rent it, but then it's going to capture you and want you to play it again. And so...
Right. Well, yeah. And I pointed this out, but they balance that at least by giving you a password system, which is huge because, again, pre-internet, no save files, no save states. No one is going to sit down and beat this game in one sitting, at least like on a first try, until you've gotten to know it really well, especially when you're talking some of the really difficult later levels, like the machine, where the whole mechanic of the level moves and you're trying to just like survive by finding your route through this like moving puzzle. It's a very hard game, but they balance it at least by saying, hey, you've made it this far. If you want to start the game again from this point, you're welcome to. And I think that was essential in this era of gaming, and I was glad that they did it, because without it, I don't think this game would have even been an option then.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. What do we think about Echo the Dolphin? Kenny, you start us?
Yeah, I absolutely will. There are moments in this game that are super frustrating. It's the kind of game that might make you rage. Like, it's that kind of hard. You're going to have moments where you feel like you're getting cheated on hitboxes, where you run out of air, where the puzzles are not as straightforward as they could be, and you're trying to find them and you can't. There's going to be enemies that frustrate you, and that's before you even get to the really ridiculous, actual hard stuff at the end of the game. It's going to drive you crazy. You're going to try and jump out over islands, and you're going to miss, and you're going to be so frustrated. But to some degree, you're probably not going to care, at least if you're like me, because the experience of it is so well put together that it's worth it. And that's saying a lot, because that's a really, really high bar in this case. But it's absolutely stunningly beautiful. The music is amazing. It's novel in what you do and appealing. Like, just controlling a dolphin is fun. They kept it on theme, and somehow they make this really, really ridiculous story somewhat palatable. And like, if I'm a dolphin, I want to time travel and save the world and the oceans, and I got to. So all things said, even though there are moments that I think everyone who plays this game will and should hate it, it is certainly a game worthy of New Game Plus.
All right, so that's one affirmative. Nolan, you want to follow that?
Yeah, I'll follow it.
Don't get that tone.
I really loved the aspects of this game, the atmosphere, the tone setting, the unexpected like pace. Like, when you first start the game, you think it's going to be a little girl's game, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh cool, action adventure game, this is pretty dope. Super quality on all fronts, really, unexpectedly. And I want to give a New Game Plus, but I can't.
Why?
Because I'm good at video games. I'm better than these two bozos, and I'm stuck. It's too much of a maze. And normally, whatever, there's 10 stages, whatever, I'll get to it. No, it's too long. And too, like, backtracking doesn't bother me. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that the echolocator, the key glyphs, and those things, being the main mechanic, being doors that you can't get past until you find the other one, that's fine here and there, but every stage and multiple times a stage, and also I can't tell what's going on. It's too much of a maze, and I want to be able to play more, but I'm stuck, so I can't give it New Game Plus.
Well, that's one affirmative and one negative. I agree that this game is going to cause you to rage. I even agree that you probably won't beat this game, but it's a rare occasion in which I say that I don't think that matters. Like in this game, I think this game is not just about completing things, but it's about the experience while you do. It's the experience. It's the enjoyment of the levels. It's the enjoyment of playing as a dolphin. When do you get to do that? I don't know. There is a beautiful simplicity to this game. There's no menus, no overworld. As already mentioned, Echo doesn't have some distinguishing crazy characteristic or like disfigurement or anything like that or feature. It's keys and doors. It's hard, hard, hard. And without a walkthrough, even with a walkthrough, because there's a few stages in there that's really just not fair. Like even late game where it's just scrolling stages and you're going to die so many times and have to memorize the stage. The cool thing is on top of that password feature, you have infinite lives. And so the worst case scenario, you start at the beginning of the stage again, no checkpoints. That's frustrating, but you do start at the beginning of the stage again. So you never are ultimately punished. It's a beautiful world, a beautiful game. I loved Echo as a kid, and I love Echo even more now. It definitely gets my vote for New Game Plus status, which means Echo the Dolphin is New Game Plus certified.
But you'll probably hate playing it.
But you'll love the experience. No, but true. You will break your controller and your and your like TV screen.
No, I just wanted to like contextualize that because I totally agree with you, but yeah, it was frustrating.
A few of our viewers wrote in this week. Hookshot said, despite never getting very far in Echo as a kid, I had a fondness for it. Echo reminds me of the Metroid series. It evokes an atmosphere from the moment you start playing and never lets up. Little touches like the ocean getting darker the further down you go and music that's both relaxing and creepy at certain times. I was surprised this week to find that Echo holds up incredibly well. I actually like it more now than when I was a kid. Yes, it's hard as nails, but it's unique and still a really fun experience. This one is definitely New Game Plus for me.
Why does everyone say Metroid? I mean, I see some of it, but it's not a Metroidvania at all. You're talking about like tone, like I guess.
That. No, you don't get upgrades that help you progress. For me, it's just about that atmosphere. Yeah, and there are so few games that are able to do that during this time.
No, you're right.
You're just so limited.
And non-linear, like up, down, left, right exploration. Like the way the levels are laid out feels a little bit like that.
All right, I buy it.
And then one more, and solitude, right? Because in Metroid, it's you and the world. There's no other friendlies, really. And you get a few more friendlies here in Echo, but it's really just you against the world. And so, I don't know, I feel that too. Sketchy Aegis wrote in and said, hey, NGP, first time writing in. I've got to say, I don't really care for the gameplay of this game. I do love what it attempts to do, but for me personally, it does not pull me in. But I will say the art, the music, and the overall ambience of the game are near legendary. I'm a Genesis collector and love seeing the console's powers used to its potential. It does get my New Game Plus status, even if I wouldn't play it, because it deserves that. You guys are truly awesome. I'm glad to be a part of this great community.
Hey, thanks, Sketchy. Thanks for writing in. You should do it more.
And
I didn't know you were a Genesis collector.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that is awesome.
I don't know if it was Sketchy, if it was someone else, but I know that at least someone in Discord this week like went out and was able to find a copy.
I saw that too. Yeah,
Echo, forgot. And buy it and play it like straight up, which is always awesome. And I do think that this is a great representation of Genesis, something that definitely could not have been done on the Super Nintendo, you know?
With
the graphics and everything. I just think
I didn't give it New Game Plus, but I agree with literally everything that's been said. So it's just one of those things.
And then Rycon wrote in and said, had a good time playing Echo this week. Here are some thoughts. Serenity was the main vibe, and they accomplished it. While the abrasive damage noise, maddening level design, and jerk enemies were stressful, they served to heighten the chill atmosphere once Echo was back at the surface doing flips. Also, the music was great. The track with the Calypso part in the middle has been in my head all week. Also, the game felt like the movie Groundhog Day, as the only ramification of dying was starting at the beginning of the level and doing it again. Metroid and Groundhog Day, yeah? Again, and again, and again, it started at the beginning. It drove me crazy how enemies would seemingly respawn on top of themselves, and how things like the star circles would disappear if slightly off screen. Changing up the gameplay on levels like Open Ocean and the level design on levels like Ice Zone kept the game feeling very fresh. Final opinion, I made it as far as the Island Zone, which looked to once again switch up the level design and music. Initially, I was thinking I'd not want to give it New Game Plus after the first few stages, as I felt I understood what the game was going for. But by progressing through the stages, it surprised me by switching things up in a positive way. I'd say Echo is a unique retro game that went outside the box. They had many misses on the formula, but scored most hits in the end. In my opinion, New Game Plus.
I think that's actually a really good summary, because he's right. Like, the things that make this game noteworthy are the unique things about it, both its look and feel and its difficulty. And yeah, you can argue that there's some things they could have tightened up gameplay wise and possibly, but it's neat seeing that everyone has sort of different takes on similar themes, even if their conclusions are different.
Do you think it's in top 10 Genesis titles?
Like, me personally?
I mean, personally, and also like what would be universally accepted.
I don't think that it would be in other people's lists, but I think they would put stuff like Vector Man up there, and I would never do that.
Right. No, yeah, you're right.
I personally would absolutely. It would most certainly be in my top five.
Yeah.
Even though it's so difficult.
Yeah. I would respect a list that puts it in a top 10. I'd be down with that. I think it's like an indie game in a way.
I'd love to check. Because it's so unique, right? Because there's no other ones like it. And because it does. Yeah. I would love to look after we finish recording and see if it does make some of the key lists.
Yeah.
I think it will probably be in top 20, but I sincerely doubt it's going to be in your top 10. Thank you guys for listening in and writing this week and sending us your thoughts. You can always do that by sending in your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com or by submitting your commentary on the commentary channel in our Discord. But for this point in time, we're setting aside Echo the Dolphin, and we are randomly selecting the new game that we are going to be playing. But it's different this week, guys.
I forgot.
Yeah, boy.
I forgot. I'm sorry. I'm excited now.
Yep. We're not randomly selecting from our great retro master list that has a few hundred games in there. We are randomly selecting from our Patreon pool.
Yeah, baby.
If you support us on Patreon at the $5 level or more, you get every few episodes to be able to submit two entries into this Patreon pool. We have only 30-something games in this randomization right now. And we've got mainly some good ones. Here's the thing. We've got a lot of Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Interesting.
Yeah, we do, and I'm hype about that. I want to
play
that
game. We also have two Majora's Masks.
Whoa, really? I'm pulling that up on my phone right now. I'm interested.
So there are some big games in here, and again, we're only randomly selecting from like 30 something rather than a few hundred.
Yeah.
So thank you, patrons, for those of you that support us, and thank you for those of you that have submitted your game submissions for this Patreon pool. Out of that small, cold list, we are going to randomize now. The randomizer has spoken, and we are going to be playing a game that came out first for the Nintendo 64 in 2001, but a couple of months later for the GameCube in 2002.
Oh my gosh.
A life simulation video game developed by Nintendo and published by Nintendo. We are going to be playing Animal Crossing.
Wow. That's a big one too, though. And when you said N64, I was like, oh my goodness, he's going to say Majora's Mask.
So this is the one that you, a year or so ago, played like the New Leaf version or whatever. Is that right?
Yeah. Me and my wife played on our 3DSs, the new one, for like 2 months straight, and Hannah is more addicted to it than I am.
Is this when you leave them alone for a long time, they get messy hair?
Yeah, and you grow weeds in your town, and everyone gets pissed. It's such a good series, and there's a new one coming out next year, so like this is good.
Well, thank you, patrons, for all of your submissions. Make sure to find a copy of Animal Crossing and play along with this week.
Hop into Discord while you're at it. You can go to our Twitter page, follow us while you're there, and then click on the Discord invite link, and it's free. And all of the people you heard from today on the podcast and more are in there talking, and it was a blast this last week. So be sure you jump in there. I'm sure we'll be talking about Animal Crossing.
We've already thanked so many of our patrons for their support with this Patreon pool, but we do want to give a big shout out to our producer level supporters. Thanks to Zion and Gimbarino. You guys are the best.
You never fail to pause there and think, who are our producers? You can always find us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch at NGP Podcast. You can find us on our YouTube channel for regular weekly video content at New Game Plus Podcast. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play the Patreon pool selected game Animal Crossing. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still a dolphin.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been one well of a time on New Game.
No, don't.
Plus.
Oh.